Welcome everyone to another episode of Hip Hop Soiree.
Oh,
hey,
oh,
hey. Okay, that's enough. That's not we don't want to party too hard. We got to get through some actual cool stuff. So, you have me, DJ Goose,
and just me, Poppy. I'm not a DJ, but I love hip hop.
You're so cool. You're Poppy Chulo.
Poppy Chulo.
If you guys know that, look that up. It's a name you want your girl to call you.
Chulo.
So today we're gonna talk. What we said we're going to talk about in our last episode, and it's about songs that we really shouldn't like, either based on our preferences, based on the people that we like, but for whatever reason, we do like. And before we do that, though, I did want to mention one thing, and this happened probably about a week and a half ago, right, Poppy?
Yep.
So, if you haven't heard, but the rapper Tekashi 6ix9ine, he is in jail right now. And in case you haven't heard, you haven't followed him, what's been going on with him is a few weeks prior to that, he was firstly accused of like all this stuff of being involved
using
with
a minor when sexual act on a video.
And it was like a video of like her stripping or something. I can't remember exactly what it was, but and I think it was before that, right? He was also on probation.
Because of that.
He was on probation, so he had to like not have any other felonies or even misdemeanors, I think it was.
Yeah, nothing violent posted. He's got to do community service or give back to the community, all that kind of stuff that they make you do to clean up.
Right, and while this was happening prior to this, as he was getting bigger, as 50 Cent was promoting him, he actually got some information from a rapper, Fat Joe. This was a while ago, right?
Yeah.
His
I think
counsel.
He interviewed Fat Joe earlier this year, meaning around like maybe May?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe? I don't know.
But he told him like, you know, be careful because they're going to watch your every move, because he has had people watch everything that he does, and he's like, they're going to get you for anything because that's what they want to do. And Tekashi, I think because of being young or because of where he was at the time, he really didn't, you know, adhere to that counsel.
He thinks he's untouchable.
Yeah. And look what happened. He's in jail now. So, if I remember correctly, he threatened someone or did he take out a gun in public?
So, there was assault. He has a bunch of things against
him.
The kid's
obviously, of course,
a mess. But I don't think that's what they got him for, because he was already supposed to have a hearing for some sort of assault charges. But what they got him on, I know for a fact at least, was racketeering. And if you don't know what that is, that's kind of basically fraudulent or dishonest business dealings.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of like hiding money, all that kind of stuff. I know that's what they hit him with. And I'm assuming as time goes by, or if they haven't already, they're going to use the other stuff against him as either evidence or this is why the kid needs to be locked up.
See, I thought there was also like something about him carrying a firearm as well or something.
I know
to
his crew
effect.
Did. I don't know if he specifically did.
See, I thought that's what they found out, that he was also carrying as well, and that's what they got him for as well.
Well, and this is all coming after him. I don't know if anyone noticed. He dropped everyone that supported him, his manager, his crew.
He's like, I'm by myself now.
Yeah, he's by himself now because there was some shady stuff going on with his business, clearly. And he basically just trusted everyone and decided to let them all go. Maybe somebody snitched on him. That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Because you realize that they weren't good people, and now they're making him pay for it.
Yeah, I mean, again, there's so many sides to the story, both of he and some aspects and in some stuff he is a victim, but most of the part he did take, you know, it was his decisions that led to this. And so, I mean, I can't say that, you know, he's 100% guilty in everything, but it's mostly his fault.
It's the concept of you reap what you sow, that's for sure.
Yeah, and so, I mean, he got into with bad people, like that people that he trusted. That was a bad judgment call on his part. But again, also the way that he has lived in his life while in the spotlight of fame, I mean, it wasn't a great way to go. And so, I mean, sucks for him if you like him. I personally not a big fan of his. I think Bobby likes more than what I thought he would.
Agreed.
But, you know, that's fine.
He reminds me of Onyx, if you know. That's older 90s, like very early 90s.
He does.
He has that same sound. He's not a mumble rapper. You can clearly hear what he says. He's, if anything, like screaming. But he reminds me of Onyx, and I liked Onyx style. So I was into it.
Yeah, but, you know, hopefully, I mean, I want him to get a fair trial on everything. You know, that's all what we really want. And if he's found guilty, then, you know,
so
guilty.
Be it. Yeah. Yep.
That's what it is. We put you so. But, okay, so to get out of that piece of news, let's go into our main subject, which are songs that we like that we shouldn't. And so I think we both went at this in a different way.
Yeah.
Because I think from our conversations, you went at it as like going from like groups or whatever. You got it to a specific artist, correct?
Yeah, a mix of both.
And mine was like, I think I was kind of the opposite. I started with a group, I guess, as well, of what I didn't like. But it evolved to just, not necessarily, I can't really say like I 100% dislike this artist all the way or anything like that. So I had to go by just songs that came out from different artists. And so I guess I will go first. So, I mean, as you guys already know, I am still getting into the modern hip-hop scene. And not necessarily the mainstream one, but just new artists have come out that, you know, I think really represent what rap should be. And then we have some of the mainstream ones that just, I have no words to describe them. Honestly, I have no words. And one of them has to be Yo Gotti. So Yo Gotti, I've heard his stuff that he's featured in, stuff with him and collabs like Young Money, Nicki Minaj, all that stuff, and I think it's trash. He sounds really boring to me, and again, I don't think he's very witty and clever in his rhymes, and it's just again the product of what people like nowadays. But I have to give it to him. His song Down in the DM, it gets me bumping so bad. And again, it's not for the content in it, but it has to do with the beat, because the beat is very reminiscent of a video game. If you played the original Legend of Zelda on the Nintendo NES, there's this song when you go into a dungeon, you go to a cave, and it goes do 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 do, and some of that. And I don't know if Yo Gotti copied it because it sounds exactly like it, or if it's just I have to play it again to see the differences, but that's what I heard, and I was like, dang it, I gotta bump to the song. Because again, his lyric on this song suck. He's like, you know, Snapchat me that pussy, oh, Snapchat me that pussy, cool, Snapchat me that pussy mood. I'm like, what? Crappy song. But I find myself listening just because of that beat, solely because of that beat.
I actually like the song.
I mean,
it grew on me. At first, I'm like, ugh. And then it grew on me.
And just like, again, the part that just gets me is when he's like, Snapchat me that pussy mood, Snapchat me that pussy if it's cool. I'm like, what? I don't know. I can't. But for whatever reason, I listen to it. But it's not because of he's like a lyrical genius or he was actually good on this track. It's just the beat, and I just find myself that the beat overpowers the content in it, so that's why I listen to it.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. It is a good beat.
It's a fantastic beat, and it just got wasted on this dude, but dang it, if it isn't catchy, whatever.
For sure. And I guess that's how I feel about some of the ones that I'm going to mention, and he mentioned that I took artists into account, so I took what is one artist I should absolutely just not like, flat out, for the basic bias reasons of what I look for when I want to enjoy hip-hop. And then just a couple other songs, but there were some relative similarities between the songs from the same artist, so I'll go about that route. And overall, I really enjoy 2 Chainz, and I know a lot of people do enjoy him, but based on the stuff I like and why I like it, he isn't one I should like. Based off of just some of the stuff he says, it's on par with basically what Young Money says, but because he goes about it differently, he's smooth, he's cool, he's got that kind of just relaxed, cool guy attitude. I think it rolls off his tongue really, really nicely. He's super quotable.
Yeah, and quotable, I mean, doesn't obviously mean that they're great quotes. They're just like, it's just something that just gets stuck in your head. And he has that talent to keep in your head. Like I said, I think all his songs are...
Yeah, it's like on a... So some of the bigger songs, like I'm Different, right? He goes like, then I put a fat rabbit on a Craftmatic. I am high. Attic... I'm so high,
like an addict. I'm like, what?
I'm different. Yeah, I'm different. And I saw this interview with Ari Spears, who is a comedian. He's strictly East Coast fanatic, straight up lyricism. He hates 2 Chainz. And when that song came out, he goes, nigga, you ain't different. Show up with my ceiling missing. He's like, you in a drop top. Everybody has a convertible. He's like, you're not different. It was funny to see, but he just has so many like ass so big. I told her look back at it. Oh, look back at it. Like, I don't know. I sing that and it sounds nice. He has so many songs that I think people can sing along to. The beat's well. It's well produced. Catchy as hell. So I should honestly not like him, but I really do.
I think you're right about it. He has quotable things, maybe not for the right reasons, or that it's like a great thing. Like I said, I told you this off air about his song, what's it called? No Lie. I think it's called
Tupac
No Lie.
Without a Nose, yeah, Ring.
Yeah, he's like, take him out, bring him, them old things. Tupac without a nose ring. Like, what? What?
Comparing himself to Tupac.
Because like he's comparing himself to Tupac, which is... To me, that's I don't understand why he thinks that. And I was like, okay, well, maybe, again, a lot of people take things out of context, right?
Yeah, I think he's referring to work ethic.
And that's what I'm trying to think. But he's like, well, let me look exactly at what he's saying.
Yeah, what's
because the
that?
Next part, he's like, what's a thug life? Which, again, it could be.
Doesn't he say something like, name a nigga that wants some. I'll rap his ass. I'll trap his ass. Throw his ass in a trash bag. Take him out. Then bring him in.
So this whole thing, he says, name a nigga that wants some. I'll wrap out his ass, I'll trap his ass, put his ass in a plastic bag with a trash ass. So I'm like, okay, obviously those are great words, you know, great rhyme scheme. And then take him, bring him out, them whole things. Then he says, Tupac without a nose ring. Then he says, thug life, one wife, a mistress and a girlfriend.
I went with to say I wouldn't. I couldn't.
I did say what I was like. Again, like, I
why
read
is
that.
That belt buckle? You see, I know it. I'm not even reading it.
I know.
Y'all nigga show is looking. Y'all nigga show is lucky, which is clever because YSL, you sure looking. Sure lucky. I don't know. I like it.
Yeah, like I said, he has some stuff in there, but I. But anyway, you said like you yeah. like him, and that's fine. And I can understand why. I just, there's some stuff that I'm just like, it's blasphemy.
Like the following bars, and it's a song that's, I guess, released this summer. It was hot. I love this song still. It's called Proud. It has him, it has Offset from Migos, and it has YG. And it's basically they're making their mamas proud. The music video is kind of endearing because they have their moms in the music video, like rapping and dancing with them. And he says, 2 chains, I've always worn more than one. Yeah, I'm real. I know you know you got to feel. I'm popping pills. I'm red into dollar bills. I don't know why. It just sounds nice. I can't help but sing that.
Like I said, he has that talent to get something stuck in your head because of his flow. And I think there's a lot of artists now that have issues with that.
Yeah.
They just have something that's easy to remember. Like I said, I don't think Lil Zane, Lil Yachty, all those guys have anything good about them. They just have this hook thing that people are like, oh, it's easy. And yeah. I like it. And again, 2 Chainz has that, at least that talent.
Yeah, I think he's just charismatic.
Intrigue you. Yeah.
And I was telling someone earlier today that he's reminiscent of me in some aspects, obviously not every single one because he's not the same person, but Jay being my favorite, Jay-Z, he has that kind of same charismatic, chill, relaxed mentality, pretty down to earth. In interviews, he's very welcoming and warm. He's not like cold-shouldered a bunch of people. He's just a sincere guy. So that's bonus points, and maybe that draws me more to his music.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah.
So going on, I want to talk. There's another one, and this has to do with Young Thug. So Young Thug. So this is why it gets me. Like I don't know why I like it. I shouldn't. But this song was actually featured in Rolling Stone's Hot 100 of the year. That this song came out
2008 or when? Okay,
I think it was 2000 and was it 15?
Well, I don't know what the song is. So,
anyway, the song is Pikachu, or P. I don't know exactly how he spells it. Yeah, just Pikachu, but it's not spelled like the Pokemon.
Does he spell it? How does he spell it?
It's P-I-C-A-C-H-O.
Oh,
and it's featuring this guy named Macchio or Macio. I don't know the name, but like I heard, he's like Pikachu. It's like my diamonds. They say Pikachu. They say Pikachu. It's like I roll up in the club and I just wink at you. I was like, what? And honestly, like,
and it's a song you like.
It's a song I like that I shouldn't, because his, again, the whole his rhyming scheme, his lyrics and stuff doesn't make any sense. Like, I don't know why he says my diamonds say Pikachu. Like, I just kept thinking, I'm like, okay, maybe, how is he trying to be clever? Like, okay, he's obviously talking about the Pokemon Pikachu, but I'm like, but what exactly is he talking about Pikachu? Like, he does Thundershock, he does like Flash, or I was like, I don't know why
it could
he's
be
using
Yellow Diamonds.
It could be, but it didn't, like, the hook is what got me, but it was just so ridiculous. I was like, is it, you know, that stuff is like so dumb or something, like you just can't help but like, oh, that's cute.
Yeah, it's endearing.
Endearing. But then I was like, man, like, this song was featured on Rolling Stone's Hot 100. What the freak is going on with you, Rolling Stone?
Yeah, that's...
That's where I was pissed.
That's rigged.
Yeah.
That can't be a top... I mean, I didn't even know that song, and I know who Young Thug is. How could that be a top 100?
Rolling Stone.
Rolling Stone. And no one... Who reads that garbage anyways? I don't read it. I don't believe in it.
But still, I was like, they have to have some merit in there. That's why I heard it. And I first got actually introduced to it through a YouTuber, but I actually started listening to the whole song, and it still was like not that great. But it's just one, like I said, I just bumping it. The beat's okay, and his flow I think is really nice. It's just like you said, it's very charismatic. He's very like, it almost sounds like he's not too serious about it, and I think that's why I like it as well. He's not being like way serious, like, yeah, I'm this thug, I'm like, I'm for real, you know. And I think that's why, like, he's not taking it seriously.
Well, he reps Blood pretty hard.
Sure.
He claims street cred, which he probably does have.
I'm not saying that he doesn't, but again, at least in the videos and the way he presents it, it just doesn't sound like he's like this. Yeah, this like thong.
Hey, that's a song I shouldn't like, but I really like.
Dude, that song is so catchy.
It's
she got dumped like a truck.
The musicality is good. It's because there's that repetitive nature. Yeah, right? Dumps like a truck,
Guys like what? Baby movie, I think I sing it again.
Yeah, it has the vocals. All of it's pretty good.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one. I can't say that I guess now if you look at my taste, I shouldn't like it, but no, I'll bump that any day.
No, I mean,
I defend it.
No, I shouldn't like it. I shouldn't like the thong song, but it is a good song.
Said I.
And we'll post some of our, I guess, goods or some of these songs on the link so you guys can have a chance to go in and listen to them.
Yeah, they'll hear it on the episode too, as we're talking
about.
You'll
play him in the back.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so.
So one person, I don't know if you've heard of Riff Raff. Do you know who Riff Raff is?
Yes.
He now goes by the name Jody Hi-Rola. He's a Houston rapper, white guy. I'm surprised he was never called out for cultural appropriation, but maybe he came out so many years before this whole thing was a thing. I don't know, and I was talking about someone at work. I don't know whether if he understands that he's trolling people and that's how he's making his money, and if he's doing it props, or if he is naive enough to think that he's that serious. I'm going to go with the former. I think he's trolling and exposing it and just having a good time, and it works for him. It's great entertainment. He has a song called How to Be the Man, and his last verse, you need to listen to it. It's a catchy beat. It's very pared down. But he goes, trunk steady knocking, floating through the sky. And then it cuts out, goes, Mary Poppins. And I love that line. And I enjoy that song. And that song was so hot for a minute that other Houston rappers hopped on it. Slim Thug hopped on it. And Paul Wall. And their verses are actually good because it's Slim Thug and Paul Wall. You know, people that actually take the craft seriously.
Yeah.
He has a song called Lil Mama, I'm Sorry. And if you watch the video, he typically has cornrows, but he straightened his hair out in this one and let it hang. It's the guy's just messing around. He has no rhyme scheme in terms of, he doesn't go anywhere with the lyrics. He just freestyles. It's a bunch of nonsense. It's catchy and it works and it's funny. And then he has Brain Freeze, which is probably my third favorite song from him.
Really?
Ice in my ear, give me a brain freeze. I mean, it's just, I should hate him. And when I first saw him, I hated him. And I listened to the song, I was like, it's not great, but it's funny, and I appreciate it.
Okay.
I don't think he takes himself seriously, so I can get behind that.
Okay. Good. I have one more song that I wanted to go off.
What song?
So this is, I don't think he's, actually I don't follow him that much. All I know is this one song. Actually, I have one more song, and then I have just one, I guess, genre that I wanted to talk about. But this song is by, you've heard of Dram, right?
Yep.
You know Dram. Okay.
Yeah, is this Broccoli?
Yes. So here's the thing I have to tell you about. First of all, I hate Lil Yachty. And it's because of all of his songs are dumb, but he also, if you ever watch the Teen Titans movie, the Teen Titans have a rap song in it. And in the movie, I was like, dang, this is actually pretty legit. It's like T-double-E-N-T-I-T-A-N-S. What the real here is taking out the big menace. But anyway, So Little Yachty does a version of that song.
It's terrible.
And it is he has no energy in anything that he does. And I hate that about him. And when I heard this song, first of all, I like the beat, the little flute. But then Little Yachty is the first one on that song. And I was like, oh my gosh, why? Why do you give these good beats to these crappy artists? And then Dram gets on the line. He sings some parts and he raps some parts, but I just love his hook. He's like, I'm in the middle of the party, get off of me, bro. I just love that part.
Speaking of the beat, though, you're a 90s kid like I am.
Yeah.
Tell me why that sounded like a kid's 90s show. Not that it's on Blue's Clues, but shows like Blue's Clues.
Yeah, I could see that, yeah.
It's like live mixed with animation, and it has a little background noise, and it has a little flute. That's exactly what the production sounded like to me. What? It sounded like a 90s kids show.
Watch the video of it too, like the styles that they do, like they have kind of that stop motion where they kind of like where they take a picture but they do like a 3D panorama around it.
Okay.
Or Dram just looks like a guy that he's just fun to be around, and like he's over there making like these like these gestures, like really big smiles, and like pretending like he's humping the air, like he's having a great time, and that's what made me like the song. I was like, okay. Like, and obviously he's talking about, like, marijuana, about the broccoli, which at that point, again, I hadn't listened to much hip-hop at that point. I was like, what, broccoli now is the term we're using now? I was like, okay.
It's whatever they can do to text and hit up their connects so that the feds can't get them. It's just, you know, lingo.
Yeah, but I'm just like, everyone knows what that is now. Like, I didn't have to listen to it. I only had to listen once, like, yeah, he's talking about marijuana.
Yeah.
Well, you're not going to smoke broccoli. Like, they're not being said about it anymore. They could have said something else, like, you know, I don't know. I don't know how to be witty with the broccoli, but use it in some other context.
Of course.
But it... Yeah, I like that song. It's just, I think it's one of those songs where it reminds me of the 90s because of how the beat is. Because again, most of the beats now are they're in like minor scales and they're in these kind of dark undertones that try to make it, to me, they try to be too, quote unquote, like real or like, you know, I'm a real thug. I'm using this song. I'm not using anything in a major scale or anything like that. Like this is. And so this one's kind of lighthearted. He's talking about a party, but it's not in those minor undertones or scales. And that's what I liked about it, because I think it was a throwback of how rap beats were, but in a modern setting, in a modern way. And I really liked that. I think that was actually pretty interesting.
Yeah.
But like all this other stuff, no.
Yeah, I have two more songs, and I guess content-wise, one of them it makes sense. It's a Southern drawl, though. It comes from Future.
Of course.
A lot of people don't like Future, but I enjoy probably two of his songs. And the one I really enjoy is one where he has Drake on. It's called Where You At. But it's super repetitive. And you know I like repetitive things.
Yeah.
Like on YouTube, I'm famous for just looping the 2 or 3 seconds.
Jesus Christ. Playing.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. And it just keeps looping. And it's Jesus super funny. See, even you're getting it repeats, it's funny.
I'm subject on that, like, you showed that to my brother, and he was like, he almost like cried, like was dying, laughing, and then he had to show our friend, and it was just a funny thing.
Yeah, but back to like the repetitive
loop, yeah.
If it's initially catchy enough, then it hooks me, you know, for all intents and purposes. So in Future, like the chorus is like, where your ass was at, dog, when niggas didn't or wouldn't feed me. Where your ass was at, dog, when bitches wouldn't feed me. Where your ass was at, dog, when niggas try to run off. Like it just keeps going with where your ass was at, the whole verse essentially. And I liked it. It has this little banjo beat. And then he says a bunch of words where I listened to it multiple times to try to get the understanding of it. And this is one of the rare songs where I had to eventually pull up lyrics because I couldn't understand some of the shit he was saying. Because he just mumbles shit. Like,
Well, he's like, what? Isn't he like one of the pioneers of mumble rap too? Because I always hear his name. Like, again, I don't listen to him enough, but it doesn't sound like that's like.
He blew up because he got big in the strip club, and then from there is when he took off. So, I mean, I guess you could say he was the biggest initial first mumble rapper.
Right. Okay.
But, and then the other one, just for sake of dancing, I like to dance, and a song that kind of gets me up and going because the beat's pretty, it's insanely catchy. It's Lil Boozy, and it's a song, and he has the two other artists are called Mouse and Fox, but it's called Loose as a Goose. And I say Fox and Mouse is funny because Loose as a Goose, and then they have two other animal-named rappers. but loose as a goose. Don't get me started. Two shots of Patron, I'm on in the party. It's just a good song. If you put it in the link, if you don't dance to it, you have no rhythm or need or want to dance. That's my opinion.
Oh my gosh. All right, so this last one is actually not, it's not specific to any song or even a genre. I guess it is kind of a genre. So we know that rap isn't something solely for North America, right? Because there's Spanish artists that do it in every country language. They have rap in one form or another.
Yep.
Okay, so in Korea they have that as well, and they actually have some pretty bomb like rappers and rap groups. Like there's one, and we actually had a request from someone to talk about K-pop rappers in a future day, which we'll have to research more.
I'm game. Yeah. I don't know, but I'll listen.
Yeah. So, but there's one called Epic High that's awesome. I think you'd actually really like. But anyway, my main beef, which I shouldn't like, but I actually do now, is the rapping or the rapping parts in K-pop girl group bands. Here's my issue with it before.
Baby Metal?
No, Baby Metal's Japanese.
Okay,
first.
I had to do that. Okay.
But let me preface this before. So, if you don't know much about K-pop or groups in that matter, it's a huge thing in Korea. It's a huge like industry where people, like when they're young, they go to school for it, then they go into private like art schools to be part of these idol groups, and each of them has a role. And you know, I knew about different like girl groups, like in, you know, Spice Girls and all that back in the 90s when they were prevalent in the US, even though they weren't made in the US. A lot of them, big ones, are like from the UK or whatever. But and some of them had like, you know, the for example, Spice Girls had like Sporty Spice, Baby Spice, Ginger Spice, whatever it was. So they had like a role in that way of who they are. But in K-pop bands, they have like, these ones are the singers. Okay, that's your part. But I'm like, shouldn't they be everyone's part? Everyone's the singers? Like, no, you two are the singers. You're the one known to do dancing stuff. And then you or two of you, you're going to be the rappers.
So they all have an entire act but one sole purpose?
Yeah.
Hmm.
So that really turned me off, just because it's like, I like people who sing, you know, and that's what they do. And you can if you want to do a quote-unquote rap in a song, fine, whatever. But sometimes like they just do it like a gimmicky thing, and I don't like that. And that's how I felt, and that's how I still have feelings for it. That's how I feel that these do in these K-pop bands. They have these girls who... that you're the rapper, so you're gonna do rap, and so it's like a gimmicky thing. It's written by all these other people, and kind of the same thing we talked about Drake. You know, Drake had a whole album with ghostwriters, and it's like, I don't like that. That I feel that's a disgrace, and that's bad, you know, bad taste to that actual type of genre of music. As I've been listening to K-pop, you know, getting, and specifically the band that I've actually listened to was Twice, just because. I think it was the right moment, the right time. I was like,
Twice?
That's the name of the band.
Okay.
The girl group is called Twice. And there are these two rappers in there. And I was like, okay, there's one thing to like write. Someone writes for you, but you have to be able to deliver, you know, said verse or whatever.
Drake
and
delivers.
Drake does deliver. I mean, whatever you say about him, whatever. But he can, you know, say those lines or whatever. And these girls are doing it too. And there's other bands, like this other band called Blackpink, and some people might know them because they did a song with Dua Lipa and with, I can't remember the other singer. But anyway, like, there's a girl that raps there, and holy crap. Like, I heard it, and I was like, I'm pretty sure this is ghostwritten as well, but dang, she, like, knocked it out of the park. And it's kind of turned me on to more where I guess I'm a little bit more accepting of that, you know, role that they have to fill. Even though I still have like this...
Are they rapping in English or are they rapping in their native tongue?
No, they're all rapping in... They have part... I think they have some songs where they rap in English or they put English words in it.
Okay.
But most of the time it's in Korean. And so like I said, I can't really base what they're saying because again, their rhyming scheme and how they write that is very different than the US. But again, a lot of people like the flow of whichever artist they like. So this one, I'm like... I'm actually do liking the flow. I don't know how much time they've spent on it, but it actually is showing that it's good. And like I said, I really don't like K-pop that much aside from that one group and like one or two rap groups. So I'm very picky on that as well. But it's just, again, for me, it's not something that I show, like, just because I'm so against the industry of how they are and how they're making these groups. But I mean, I gotta give credit to them. Like, they are, these girls actually are talented in that. I still think the dancing one is the stupidest thing ever, because like, I can't hear you dancing on an album. Music video, yes, but on an album, I can't hear you dance.
Yeah, like, you want them to be the whole package.
Yeah, so that's my whole gripe about it. But I mean, we want to...
That'll be interesting, only because obviously we're wrapping up an episode where I have stated I shouldn't like these songs or these artists based off of the lack of lyrical content that they provide. And now I'm going to listen to a language I understand zero words. I literally know zero words in Korean. So I'm basically going to have to base it off of the production quality when they come, like the cadence and the flow, and I guess overall sound. Because I think I said in one of the previous episodes, there are some artists who I think are lyrically inclined, but I can't get behind their voice. Their voice just bugs me. Like Chamillionaire, I can't get behind him. E40 took me several years to get accustomed to his style, but I like what he raps about. But I've always been a Too Short fan. I like his flow, that Bay movement. I like the Bay movement.
Okay.
But E40, I'm like, I like what he says, but I can't get past the 40 wowda. But I finally got used to it. So we'll see how this Korean thing goes.
A lot of people like that with Mason, still are, because Mason's like, I think
Mason has great flow.
I think he has great flow, but it's his voice. It's so soft. It's so like,
they say, what? They tell you lighten up, put some mace in your voice. They tell you toughen up, put some bass in your voice, or whatever it is Kanye says.
To wrap it up, though, I did want to talk about, and we talked about this a while, but we're going to end with this, is, you know, with the rise of these mixture, or these, you know, what's combinations or mixtures of different genres with rap, is exploded to where, you know, a few years ago, we had Psy with Gangnam Style go to number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100 because there was the gimmicky little dance that got him up there. We had Despacito, who had, because of Justin Bieber, got up to number 1 with an artist who's been out for, like, at that time, almost like 15, 20 years, Luis Fonsi. And this one I want to talk about, and the reason it's relevant to Hip Hop Story, to this podcast, is because it does have a featured rapper on there who is not only doing his verse in another language, but he's actually doing it very well.
Yeah.
To my surprise, and I was like, wow. And this song, it's called Mia, and it's by Bad Bunny featuring Drake. And it's funny because I even talked to you about it because I wasn't sure if we could even bring it up, but like, I looked at what Bad Bunny is, like, technically considered, what type of rapper.
Spanish trap.
They call him Spanish trap. And I just kept thinking, well, okay, I guess that makes sense. If you listen to his other featured parts, like in songs that people would know from our audience, from Cardi B, the I Like It Like That, like, they would know that one. He's in other ones from, I think he's in De Bote, which was also in the Billboard Hot 100s from Ozuna. I think he reached like top 50, I believe. So he might have heard that song as well. But I kind of want to go into this because it reached number 5, and it's funny because I don't ever hear this song on the radio, at least personally on the, like, English ones.
We're in Utah, so our geographic area in and of itself is going to be very limited.
Right, but even in there, I heard when at the height of their song was Gangnam Style. I did hear that on 97.1, and I did hear Despacito on U92 and 97.1. So it's like, but this one I've never heard anywhere, at least on the English channels here. And I thought that it was since it got so high, but like, the publicity in it in the US is nowhere to be seen.
Yeah. Well, this is another episode we should probably dedicate to, is just how the technology has kind of shifted.
Yeah.
So think of the platforms like Tidal or iTunes or Spotify and Pandora, because streams are now counting towards the records going gold or going platinum. You know, X amount of streams, I can't remember, equal what used to be back in the day a CD sale, which people have some issues with, because now that so much technology has been democratized, let's, for just sheer numbers example, let's say 15 years ago, maybe only 20 million people had access to internet easily. Now, 15 years later, or even just in the past 5 years, the amount of people that have access to internet and good quality internet has, like, tripled. I don't even know the numbers.
It's skyrocketed.
I should look it up, but it has to at least more than quadrupled based on countries being able to develop the technology to support internet for everyone like we have in the U.S. And other countries have had just as good, if not better. But you know what I mean. It's been increasing at an exponential rate. So is the amount of streams really an appropriate measure? Do you account for that kind of proportional shift in accessibility and the amount of people that have the ability to just press play on their phone and listen to it as many times as they want? But I mean, to go back to it, I mean, I guess we'll talk about the song. I do love that Drake dedicated his part to speaking Spanish or singing Spanish. And Bad Bunny's a Puerto Rican artist, and I'm obviously Boricua, Puerto Rican, and I like that although his part is very short, he seemed to practice to get our dialect down very well.
Mm-hmm.
The way he cuts up words, because we cut up words constantly, and so that dialect is very reminiscent of, you know, Puerto Rican. So I'm going to assume it was on purpose, and I like that. I appreciate that from him.
It's a very interesting part, because this is not actually his first feature in a Spanish song, because he was also with Romeo Santos, and I think this song was, I forget what it was called, but he was in a Romeo Santos, like in a bachata song of all things, and he does sing a little part in Spanish, but then he does his part in English, the rest, like his actual rap part. But this song, it's funny because it's a song, and kind of talk about the musical and the composition of it. It's in a major scale. I think it goes from F sharp, the chords go from F sharp to G sharp, and then I think it goes B to C sharp and then to G sharp. So it's all very happy sounding songs, which again is prevalent in reggaeton now.
Yeah. It's very vibrant. It's a dance song. You listen to it, and like, if you have rhythm in your blood, you're gonna want to get up and dance to it.
Yeah, and what's funny is, like, even though this is a party song, the actual content of the music and what he's singing about is actually very, I guess, endearing, which is very interesting, because they're talking about a girl, and they're saying, like, this girl's like above everyone else, like everyone wants, like they say, like everyone wants a taste of her, it's like, but she is with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what makes all the guys hate me, because they want to be with you but they don't know that they can't.
Yeah, even in the second verse it says that I'm the favorite son-in-law.
Yeah, I love that.
He's like, and it's so it's not actually a sexualized song.
No,
if you don't speak Spanish, it's actually not sexualized, it's a clean song, so to speak.
Yeah, el cuñado favorito de tu mai.
El yerno, like, favorito de tu mai.
Yeah, sorry. And it's funny because when in his verse, like, he says some weird things, Bad Bunny, because Bad Bunny is just the name and his style. Like, if you look
Puerto
at him,
he's Puerto Rican and he's a weirdo too.
Look at him. You go to the picture and look at Bad Bunny. He is a kid you made fun of every day in middle school because he's like, I'm gonna be big and be a rap star.
Yeah,
and you're like, whatever, okay.
Just wait and see. Yeah, and I mean,
you didn't bun up your overalls right.
I agree. He's one of those kids that never fit in, and they weren't meant to fit in anywhere. And now he's just, like, I guess, getting recognition that he said he was always going to get. And I'm not saying that's his story. We're just saying he looks like that kid.
Yeah, he looks like that kid. And but like I said, I think he has, like, that Boricua flow, like that accent in there that really works for him and the songs that he does. And like I said, he says a lot of endearing things on this song. Like, and one of them, he says kind of, like I said, people like to do, like, similes or something like that in rap, and one of them says, like, he's like, you're like my Adderall and I think about you before I put on my overall. I'm like, okay, that's the funniest little line right there.
It says, when you touch me the world stops spinning.
Yeah, it just, and again, it makes more sense in Spanish than it does in English.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
know,
it's pretty big. Les, who's actually going to be listening to this, she's someone, and she knew some of the parts in Spanish.
Really?
Yeah, she dedicated, like, she just loves singing and dancing to it. She listens to a lot of Spanish music now, and that's pretty cool.
That is cool. And I think my favorite part that I do, like I said, it's mostly about him being with the first girl he's ever been with. Like, he even talks about it like that, in parts like, do you remember what we did, like, in these stairs, like, you know, always remember this, like, you were my first, I was your first. It's just a really great, great song that, if you like rap, I think you should listen to it, because again, if you like Drake, his part he does is very well. And it's funny because I think he got, I don't know if he got into it because of this, but a lot of people thought that he had some sort of Spanish blood in him, which he has none of.
Yeah, well, he's light skinned. So, I mean, so you look at him like, and if you're on the East Coast, you're like, yeah, you must be either Dominican or Puerto Rican or Cuban. Like, just a Caribbean type of guy.
And he went into that skit. He's like, hey, boy, they think that okay, I'll be featuring all these Spanish songs.
Yeah, well, that's the one where he did it with Romeo Sanz. Was like, is he Dominican?
Yeah.
So.
But it's funny because I look at him and I'm like, I look at how he trims his beard and I see how you trim your beard and how your brother does sometimes, and it looks, I'm like, that clean cut, like, I don't know if it's like a Caribbean thing or a Puerto Rican thing, but he also does that too. So I'm in my book, I'm like, I could see that. I think he's kind of imitating the style a little bit, the way that he's grooming himself now, at least on his face.
Yeah.
But I just want to say I recommend that song to anyone.
Yeah, I think what makes it extremely unique is obviously you have a musical icon really in Drake. You have he's now recognized, Bad Bunny, and if you don't listen to Spanish music, you may not know him. But even though you may not understand the language, he has a weird flow and sound to him. And I wouldn't say weird in a bad way. It's unique. I enjoy it. Some people may not. When he first came out, I will admit, I wasn't a hater. I'm like, this just doesn't sound right. But because it stands out so differently, it grew on me, and just the way he says things and stretches out some of the words and monotone sings, it works. And yeah. I think it's a very different sound from Despacito. Don't expect the exact same formula. The chords are still vibrant, but the overall ambience of the song is very lively, very dancey. Just, I don't know.
It kind of sounds homey. Is the best way I can describe it. And the music video shows that it's a house party, like on the lawn. And it's funny, it's very Dominican, very Puerto Rican, because, I mean, you see Drake playing dominoes with some people, and there's just, it's very funny. You see the Puerto Rican flags, everyone, like, yeah, they're definitely Puerto Rican, because they have to show you.
I think they filmed in Miami, though, but, I mean, there's quite a few Puerto Ricans there.
So. Yeah, well, I mean, I mean, like, he's Puerto Rican, that's why he's showing, like, the party. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure that's where they filmed in Miami.
Yeah.
But, great song, so... Yeah, I think that's it for this episode.
Yeah, I got nothing else. I don't know if you wanted to dedicate or commit, I should say, to anything on the next one, or will it be a surprise of some sort?
I would want to talk about the K-pop thing, but I think that's going to take us a little bit more time to actually research it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to listen to it and get accustomed to a couple things.
I'm trying to think of what else.
You want to do a top five or something?
I think for the end of the year.
Because the end of the year,
we're going to do, let's do our top five best and worst songs. Instead of it coming out this year, the ones that we heard this year, and whether it was really great or really bad.
Okay, so whether or not they released this year, just the ones we listened to, top five.
Top five, like we listened to it, like let's say it came out in 2005, but we only heard about it or knew about it like this year.
Okay, fair enough, I can do that.
So let's go over that with our rap songs. And if you guys are listening, because I was surprised actually with how many people that listened. But if you want to leave any songs that you thought were a great song that you listened to this year, or a bad song, and tell us why, leave a comment in the Podomatic section, or send us an email about it at...
Please.
It's hiphopsoiree2018. So hiphopsoiree, if you don't know how to spell it, it's Soiree. 2018 at gmail.com, and either Poppy or I will go ahead and read it, and then read it here live.
I know, and one of the things I know we said we'd commit to is providing a new song, or not a new song, but a song each podcast. We provided several different songs, and granted, we've heard these before, so I'll skip on providing a song I just discovered. Obviously, next episode we'll dedicate to top five and bottom five, I guess, songs we've heard in this year.
Yeah, and we'll try and stick it to rap, but if it's some song that you heard, you're just like, it's trash.
It's got
to
make the list.
It's got to make the list.
Feel free. And argue your case. I love seeing that. Propose it, and you may hear it.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks so much for listening to Hip Hop Soiree. This is DJ Goose.
And this is Poppy.
See you later.